All right, let's talk about Bishul. So the first major shailas that come up, halach l'maisa, relevant halach l'maisa shailas, number one is, can one dip challah in soup? Number two is, can one pour salt or pepper, let's say in chicken soup or vegetable soup or whatever? Number three is, can one put croutons in one soup? And we'll talk about also, can one make tea on Shabbos, which are all along the same ideas, basically cooking things or putting things into hot liquids, like soup and tea and whatnot. Okay, so let's start off for challah and soup. There are those who ask for this type of thing. Where does it come from? Anyone who wants to ask for putting challah in a soup have to make three assumptions, and each one of those is going to be debated. We'll see. Number one is that yesh bishul achar ofia. In other words, even though the challah is already cooked, putting it in soup is actually bishul. There's a discussion we'll have to get to. Yesh bishul achar bishul, ein bishul achar bishul, yesh bishul achar ofia, ein bishul achar ofia. We'll discuss this in a little bit. But you'd have to assume, number one, is that it's usher to do bishul after ofia was done. And the pitur of ein bishul achar bishul is only by bishul and not by ofia. Number two, this would even apply in a cliché, because most of us don't eat our challah while it's still over the fire, or at least in the kli rishon, from a pot. I guess if you'd want to bring a pot to your table right off the stove and bring it to your table and you dip the challah in there, then you'd have a kli rishon shaila. So number one is it's yesh bish, you have to hold a yesh bishul achar ofia. Number two, it applies even in a kli sheni. And the third assumption you have to make is that the bowl in front of you is in fact a kli sheni. Not a kli shlishi, or not whatever else it is, etc. So we're going to look at three independent sukkahs right now. Number one is bishul achar bishul. Number two will be kli sheni. Number three will be which the bowl in front of you. Number one, yesh bishul achar ofia. There's a principle by davar yavesh, dry food. Davar lach is more complicated. It's machlok rishon, but we're machmer now for right now. Maybe we'll get there next time or whatever. There's a principle by davar yavesh, dry food, called ein bishul achar bishul. It's alluded to in the Gemara and Paskin the Shulchan Aruch. In Shin Yud Ches, where really all this stuff is sift out. Once something has been cooked once, a second cooking of that object is not usher, it's not a problem of bishul. So therefore, if one wants to take a piece of boiled chicken and put it right back into the chicken pot, it'd be totally mutter. Even though it's totally cooked up Erev Shabbos, you want to throw it right back in, mamash on the fire. You have a chicken soup going on the fire that you put on Erev Shabbos, assuming, I don't know, ignoring Shehiyah problems, whatever else we have to talk about. There's all sorts of Durabana concerns, like leaving stuff on the fire. Let's say, ignoring that potential concern over there, you could take the piece of chicken and put it right back on the fire because it was totally cooked, and you're furthering cooking. Let's say you make a potato cook, and you want to throw it on, to warm it up on Shabbos. Once it's totally cooked, it's not a problem at all. It's totally mutter to throw that guy right back onto the fire, midza raisa. Ein bishul achar bishul. According to the Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos, Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, it has to be mevushal kol tzarko. As long as it's fully cooked, you can throw it back on. Once it's less than fully cooked, then putting it back on the fire is an isur d'araisa of bishul, because you're being mevashal until you get to the point of kol tzarko. That's the famous shita of the Rambam, and the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba, the Rosh, and other Rishonim, quoted by the Rashba is quoted by the Magid Mishnah in Hilchas Shabbos, Perek Tes Halacha Gimel. The Rosh is found in Masechet Shabbos, Perek Gimel as well, in Perek Kira. I think it's Sifkat Yud Aleph. That Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is not defined by Bishul called Sarko, like we just said in the Rambam, but rather by something else, by Michael Ben Drusoy. What's Michael Ben Drusoy? Michael means food, and Ben Drusoy was a famous bandit, a famous robber. He was a thief. And he was constantly running from the police, constantly running around from the authorities and from whoever, so much that he never had time to sit down and relax and have a good meal. He was constantly eating food when it was at the most bare minimum, the smallest level of being ready. He would constantly be eating that food. That's what's called, he's Ben Drusoy. And Michael Ben Drusoy means it's cooked that much. How much is that? Either half or a third. According to Rashi, it's half. According to Rashi, it's a third. According to the Rambam, it's half cooked. Whatever that number is, it's a machlokas. The Rashi versus the Rambam, that is considered Michael Ben Drusoy, and therefore, according to the Rashba, if you pass the threshold from less than Michael Ben Drusoy to Michael Ben Drusoy, you violate Bishul. So according You know, if you go from either from 31 to 34, or 32 to 34%, or from 49 to 51%, you violated Issa Daraisa from going from less than Ben Drusai to Ben Drusai. However, if it's 51% cooked, you can mamish, throw it back on the fire, let it sit there, all the way up to 99. And therefore, according to the Rashba, we're much more makel than according to the Rambam. Mikar Adim, we probably pass him like the Rashba, but all the poskim in the world say this is a Shiloh Darais, so the Rambam's a major leaguer, the Rambam's a real strong, one of the big guns. He's one of the major central Rishonim, and therefore we're all Machmer, you know, Lahalach, the Shulchan Aruch, and Sif Dalit. We even follow the Rambam, some poskim, at least Lachomra, that something not fully cooked would be ushered to put on the fire. And therefore, in order to put something back in the soup, or put something back on the fire, or put something back on the hot, whatever it would be, it would have to be mevushal kol tzarko, because we paskin like the Rambam. If someone else does it, perhaps, let's just say someone, you know, let's say someone, you go to someone's house for Shabbos, they take something 75% cooked and throw it in the soup, you could probably still eat it. There's not a Maisa Shabbos issue, because there's a famous Magen Avraham we have mentioned in the past, that believes as long as there's some major shita out there, you can rely upon it for Maisa Shabbos, and therefore you can probably rely upon this Rashba. But Mi'akar Adim, we really follow the Rambam L'Charchila, and therefore, Ein Bishal Acher Bishal is only when it's Mivushal Kol Tzarko. If it's 98% cooked, you should be careful with it, it's a Daraisa Shaila. And therefore, well, if you have Challah, which is fully cooked, could you dip it into the soup? Well, the answer is, let me go slowly. If you have, again, the chicken, you could put the chicken in. Not if it's Michael Ben Drusai, you'd have to be Mamish fully cooked to put that boiled chicken back in. However, it's not so clear that the same halacha. Oh, good. And therefore, challah, which is fully cooked, even doughy challah is probably not going to get any more cooked by the hot water. It'll just get hot. It's not going to get cooked. No, right? And therefore, maybe one can argue you can stick the challah into the soup based upon the principle of Ein Bishal Acher Bishal, the challah, the Bishal Kol Tzarko. And therefore, there's no Bishal Daraisa, so stick the thing, there's no Bishal, I'll stick the thing back in. Maybe you can say yes, but maybe not. It's a Machlok Rishonim, as we'll see very soon, because perhaps Ophia is different than Bishal. In other words, cooking and baking in English and in Hebrew have different words because they're different activities. You don't really cook bread. Cooking means you put it in a pot of hot water. Baking means you stick it in an oven without any water. And therefore, we'll see in a little bit, there is a Machlok Rishonim as to whether or not we say Ein Bishal Acher Ophia or not. We definitely say Ein Bishal Acher Bishal. But what about Ein Bishal Acher Ophia? That's a Machlokas Rishonim, which we'll get back to mamish momentarily. But that would be one potential Shaila. Could, you know, if you want to hold putting the soup in the Chalim, the soup is Aser, you'd have to hold again. That Ein Bishal Acher Bishal does not apply, and this would be Aser. Point one. What about a kli sheni? What's the halacha about a kli sheni? So the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yud Ches Sif Hey quotes that from Rebbe Lezer Mimitz. L'chumra, not only can you not cook in a kli sheni, but there's a problem of Ein Bishal Acher Ophia in a kli sheni. Rebbe Lezer Mimitz writes it's usher too. It l'chumra, it's usher. You cannot place challah, for that matter, anything roasted or grilled, anything that's not mevushal. In other words, if it was back into the water, because yesh bishal acher ophia, and that applies even into a kli sheni. And this sheet of Biurein, the sheet of Rebbe Lezer Mimitz, really is based upon two chumras. I mentioned them, but I'll reiterate them quickly. Number one is yesh bishal acher ophia, meaning that ain't bishal acher bishal, but yesh bishal acher ophia. And number two is that's true even in a kli sheni. In other words, not only could you not stick the challah into the pot that's on the fire, or even the same kli rishon once it's off the fire, we assume that's still a kli rishon. Well, there's a small discussion about it. We assume if you take your pot of fire, it's still a kli rishon. But if you pour into a bowl, into a second bowl, then that's called a kli sheni. It still would be usur to put your bread in there, because we paskin yesh bishal acher ophia even in a kli sheni. That's a little bit surprising, because a kli sheni, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos on Daf Nem Amud Beis says there is no bishul in a kli sheni. So why is anyone machin with a kli sheni? The Gemara says beferish, there's no such thing. So the answer is, what the poskim all say, and it's quoted in Mishnah Berurah Shin Yud Chesef Kat Lamed Tes, and alluded to, or maybe even spelled out in Mem Beis, that even though we hold there is no bishul in klisheni, there is a little bit of bishul for certain things, what's called kalei habishul, things that cook easily, things that are very easy to be cooked. What's considered kalei habishul? We don't know anymore. We've lost that. And therefore, because it's such a serious shaila, kalei habishul is such a serious shaila, therefore, we are machmir for all klisheni, because maybe what we're cooking is going to be kalei habishul, or almost all, I should say, if not all. We'll see in a little bit, it's not so clear. But we're machmir that anything might be a kalei habishul, and therefore we don't put the challah into a klisheni, again, according to the Arayu. Now, I'm going to just deviate for one second. Before I quote the Shulchan Aruch, who then quotes a dissenting opinion, I'll take around the question and make a quick side point. Yeah.
I don't understand that even for one like a Rambam that needs to be called Saravan, really it seems not simply 100% or at least very, very, very close to it.
100%, yeah.
Then when people, like, for example, put food in a pot or something, like it gets burnt or something, wouldn't that be an issue of it being cooked?
No, that's kind of a rabble. That's not cooking it more, that's damaging it.
So it's not burnt, but more because it was soft, whatever, like, it seems like over. No, you put people cook halal on a hot plate and then they come back and it's like a layer of
halal. Oh, that's a separate show. I'm sure cooking on a hot plate.
There's no,
okay, so maybe a plaza, which is having. Leave the hot plate aside for a second, but your point's a very good one. How do you define cold circle versus a little more? Yeah, I've asked this question to a lot of poskim as well. The best I got is cold circle.
It's not an answer, though.
I think if it's considered edible by all standards, then it's good. I mean,
but wouldn't it just be half of veggie side?
No,
exactly. Sure, it's like half cooked.
Even 90% spinach, it's not really cooked, but I'll eat it, you know.
Most people would say that. I spoke to Rav about this. Rav Mora said it could be called sarcos for different people. You know, I don't know. That's the best I got.
Some people want crispy challah. Some people like it more doughy. But if you want doughy crispy, you can benefit from that.
I don't know how to answer that question any better. Yeah.
Is this all assuming that the liquid is yetzel lesbo? Or is that even...
Yes, correct. If it's not yetzel lesbo, say putting it in cold water. Correct. I should point out, just deviate for a second before I mention the Shulchan Aruch's descending opinion of the Rav Yehuda who disagrees with the Arayim. What's the difference between Kli Rishon versus Kli Sheni? In other words, pardon me, right? Well, why should the Gemara even say that Kli Sheni is mutter in the first place? Who cares? It should depend upon how hot the water is. That's the famous question that Tosfos asks. Tosfos says, if the water is hot, it's hot. If the water is not hot, it's not hot. So Tosfos answers, yeah, but it depends if the walls heat it or the walls cool it off. The funus machalamos versus the funus makaravos. If the walls are making the food hotter, then it's us. If the walls are making the food cooler, then it's, you know, that's the function of a cliche. You know, why is that relevant at all is a good question. What's the svara for that? Some people say it's not derech bishul. In other words, you would never cook something in a pot that cools off the water. Who would ever cook that way? The whole goal of a pot is to heat up the water. Maybe it's not derech bishul. Maybe some other reason why. Okay, that's Tosfos's understanding. There's a few other sheets, I'm not going to deviate into most of them for now, but there is a discussion out there as to why klisheni would be mutter at the end of the day, where machmer, as we just pointed out, because we don't know what's considered kalei habishul. And therefore, again, the Rambam is machmer by putting bread in. The Shulchan Aruch then quotes the Rav Yehuda, who holds to allow for bishul achar bishul in a klisheni. This machlokas Rishon comes up found in Amor Chayim Shabbos in Perek Gimel. It's, I think, Sivkot Ner Os Reish Gimel. And the Rama quotes people who argue on each of the two assumptions, meaning there's two possible kulas, and each argues on one of the two kulas. Some poskim, and the Mishnah Berurah spells it out, allow for anything to be cooked in a klishein. That's what the Mishnah Berurah clarifies in Sivkot Mem Gimel. And some say no. Some allow for bishul achar ofia. Some allow for bishul achar ofia, holding aim bishul achar ofia. That's what Mishnah Berurah clarifies in Sivkot Mem Daled. Achrei kechlos hakol. At the end of the day, there's two ways of disagreeing, two possible svaras for disagreeing with the Rav Elazar Mintz. Number one is this is a klisheni, it's mutter. Number two is I don't care if it's a kli mishnah klisheni. Ein bishul achar ofia lamai nafkamina. Number one would be could you make tea in a klisheni? In other words, if we're making with a klisheni, you can do anything in a klisheni. Number two is, could you dip challah into a kli rishon? If we're making with ofia, in other words, ein bishel achar ofia, then you'd even be able to make a mamsh in the pot. You could take the bread and stick it right into the pot and serve it with everyone. Who knows? Achrei kechlos akol, the Ramah himself says everyone should be machmer, and lehalacha, we are machmer, like the Rebbe Lezion admits, we follow both chumras, that's the psak of the Ramah, and that's what everyone should be doing. Again, if someone disobeys and doesn't do it, there's no Maaseh Shabbos issue, but that's the standard psak. I don't know if Edom saw Gim Hasra, we put the guy to death, I don't know. But we do paskin like both chumras, we paskin like the Rebbe Lezion admits. How does that play out for tea? I'll get there in a second.
How does everyone do that? It's a different color.
We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there. Quick question. The third potential issue would be is whether or not our bowl sitting in front of us is considered a klisheni, or maybe even it's a klishlishi. And that requires two questions to be asked. One, which one is it? And two, is a klishlishi even mutter? Is it relevant? Is it such a halacha concept as klishlishi? Let's talk about both of those. Again, perhaps one can argue that the bowl in front of you is a klishlishi, and therefore it's not usher because of bishul. Both of these shailas are, both of these elements are subject to machlokas. Number one, the Gemara says a klish. Let's talk about a klishlishi in principle. Is a klishlishi even mutter? So the Gemara says that a klisheni is not mavashul, but it makes no comment about klishlishi. So the Prima Gadin in Shin Yud Ches in Eshel Avram Sifkatan Lamid Hey talks about a klishlishi. It seems to indicate that it's mutter, and that's out of Moshe Paskins. In Or HaChaim Chelek Dalet, Simen Ayin Dalet, Hilchas Bishul, Os Tezvav. It's also found in the Shabbos Kitchen, page 32 in that art scroll book, that a Kli Shlishi is totally mutter. Chazal said Kli Rishon, that's Asher Darai, said Kli Sheni, we're Machmer, because it's not there. But Kli Shlishi, you have to be Machmer from here, and just sharpen the svar. Remember we asked, what's the difference between Kli Rishon versus Kli Sheni? Was it Kli Rishon? Is it Derech? Kli Sheni is fine at the Derech? Well, Kli Shlishi, I'm sorry, so Kli Sheni, we are Machmer by Kali HaBishel. Why might we be Machmer by Kali HaBishel at a Kli Sheni? Well, because it's so easy to cook. Maybe it is the Derech. If that's the case, Kli Shlishi, forget about it. Tough to imagine. And therefore be totally mutter. One sec. However, against Rav Moshe, many poskim, oh, they disagree. The Chaz Nishan or Achayim, Nun Beis Sifkan Yotes, Rabbi Soloveitchik was quoted to say the same thing. The Aruch HaShulchan and Shin Yud Ches Sifkan Chaf Ches all say Kli Shlishi is the same as Kli Sheni. And therefore, you know, in other words, what does it come out? It comes out that there's a major machlokas as to whether or not Kli Shlishi has a halachic status. Well, let me phrase it in a more lumdish way. Why does the Gemara not mention the concept of Kli Shlishi? Either because it's Pashat, it's Mutter, or it's Pashat, it's the same as Kli Sheni. Is it that Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and Kli Shlishi is Pashat, it's Mutter? Where there only are two categories, Kli Rishon and Other, which is categorized as Kli Sheni, but it means Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Asiri, they're all the same. Machlok is Gedoli Achronim, and therefore, what's the status of Kli Shlishi? Big Machlokas. Many are Machmer, the Mishnah Berurah himself is Machmer. It comes up by making tea. Rabbi Soloveitchik was Machmer. The Aruch HaShulchan is Machmer. Rav Moshe was Mekel. I myself am Mekel in a Kli Shlishi, certainly for tea, and even for many other things as well. I should point out that the Mishnah Berurah over here in Shin Yud Ches Sifkatan Mem Zayin, well, even though he's Machmer for both Chumras of the Yireim of the Rav Lezmanimitz, and he's Machmer against a Kli Shlishi, he allows you to use a Kli Shlishi to dip your bread in. And therefore, if it's a Kli Shlishi, let's assume for a second, whatever you have in front of you is, let's talk about yeshiva, where it's clearly a Kli Shlishi, right? You got the big, huge pot that they make it in the kitchen. Then they put it in on a big, huge tray in separate bins, and everyone gets and put it into their bowl. That's for sure a Kli Shlishi. Even there, the Mishnah Berurah would be making. And even though he's Machmer on each independent Shiloh, he's Machmer on one, Machmer on two, Machmer on three, but Ad Kedei Kach all together, he writes, you don't even have to be Machmer on that. He writes, the best would be to let the soup cool off and really be Machmer all three. But L'chol, but, you know, you could really rely even upon this as well. Hang on one second. Now this Shiloh opens up the Shiloh about tea. Because tea does not, in other words, you can be making by putting the bread into your soup in a kli shlishi. We're talking about what that bowl is on our plate. But you can put the bread into a kli shlishi. That, for sure, the Mishnah Berurah is make with. So for sure, Moshe would make with anything kli shlishi. But what about tea? Tea is a little different. Tea doesn't have all three coolers. For starters, it doesn't have Ein Bishlachar Ophia. That's a potential, you know. So therefore, what's the din by tea? Before I get to the din by tea, let's take a quick round of question, and I'll try my best to talk about tea and coffee, and then we'll talk about the bowl in front of you, and we'll see that takes us. How are we doing? Yeah.
Yeah, just in a technical of a lot, you know, how does that work? Like, you should work in Machner in both areas, but they want to combine and see if they want to do.
Meaning, like, how does the halachic system work? That he holds, here's the machlokes, here's the machlokes, all three together.
Right.
I guess the answer is, halacha isn't yes or no. Halacha is, really, it's right to be machmer in this situation. Really, it's machmer to be right in this, but to combine all three chumras together, after they cap, we're not going to make a person. It's true, it's a serious shiloh, but you got so much to rely upon. You know, sometimes a lot of posts will say, well, if you can combine this head to it, something else, two sniffing lahakil. So here's three sniffing lahakil.
These aren't two head here they're combining. I mean, in that case, it's like, no,
here,
there that don't rely on so much.
Here also. No, number one is Kli Sheni's Motor. Number two is Bishlachar Ophia. Number three is Kli Shlishi. You got three head here. You can combine all three sniffing lahakil. Mishnah Berurah is fine. That I can allow for. Yeah, what do you got, Bobby?
Not just more like a technical thing, just it's about tea, I don't remember how to get there. But in regards to kli shlishi, if you have two cups and go into one, into the other, back into the third, does that count as a shlishi or is it?
We'll get there. We'll get to it. We'll talk about ladles, we'll talk about that. Remind me. If I don't get there, remind me. The answer is if the answer is short, if they stay cold, yes. If they get really hot, then you have a problem.
We're talking about the walls.
We'll get
there.
Exactly.
Hot,
exactly. So tea. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Hilchus in Abram's Moshe, again, Rechaim Chilek, Dalet. Simon Ayin Dalad, that it's mutter to make kli in a kli shlishi. It's mutter to make tea in a kli shlishi, and that's what I have the practice of doing. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to also make tea even in a kli sheni, which is shocking because why?
Because he's the one who holds that.
Because everyone holds that you can't make tea in a kli sheni because we're choshish that what? Maybe it's kali habishul. So Rabbi Soloveitchik once made tea on a kli sheni, and someone said to him, why don't you make it in a kli shlishi? He goes, my father of Chaim, he also knew how to keep Shabbos, and he used to make it in a kli sheni. Okay, so now the question is on Rav Chaim.
Well, he also holds the sheni and shlishi are the same, no? So it wouldn't help.
Yeah, so he said to him, even though you don't disagree, why not at least
do it
for Rav Moshe, an extra thing. My grandfather made tea in kli sheni. So where does it come from? So the svar is as follows. The Mishnah Masechet Shabbos on Mem Dalet Amud Beis says that Tavlin is not Kali Habishal. Tavlin is not a Kali Habishal. What's a great example of Tavlin? I don't know what Kali Habishal is, but I know the one thing that it's not is what? Tavlin. What's Tavlin? Tea. Tea is a Tavlin. That's exactly what it is. It gives it a little spicy taste to the water. So Chaim Soloveitchik used to say it's totally mutter to make tea on Shabbos. So why then does everyone disagree with Rav Chaim? And this famous story of the Rav. My grandfather also knew how to keep Shabbos. My grandfather knew how to learn. Two gear cells in the story. Just in case you want to get the story properly of a salvation quiz channel. So what was so the Shmir Shabbos Tilchasa quotes that maybe what the Mishnah was talking about, where it said the following is not Kali Habishul, like a big huge cinnamon stick. But the bag which has tiny little pieces in it, that's already perhaps Kali Habishul. When the Mishnah says, the tavlin is not Kali Habishul, it's not a big, huge, like, cinnamon stick. That's not Kali Habishul, doesn't cook easily. But tiny little pieces of tea in the bag might be. In any event, what do you get up to? According to Rav Moshe, you can make tea in a Kli Shlishi. According to Rav Soloveitchik, you can make tea in a Kli Sheni, but for a totally different reason. And according to the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan and others, you can be machmir for both. Mishnah Berurah writes, you cannot make tea that way at all. Neither in a Kli Sheni, nor in a Kli Shlishi. He rejects the Kli Shlishi, he rejects his Tavlin argument, and he says, what should you do? You should make out like a tea essence. You cook it up Erev Shabbos, like a big, huge, 6 or 7 bags of tea together. You make it Erev Shabbos, that's when you put it back in. It's Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. No, he says more than that. What else does he say?
What's with the keynote of the fire lover?
Yeah. He has a whole long arichas, the whole thing's hot anyway, that's when you put it back in. It's a tea essence. at the end of the day, some are machmer for like Mishnah Berurah. Most people, I think, rely upon probably the motion, which would be the Rav included. And at the end of the day, that takes care of tea. Now, I should point out that when you put the, you should put the tea in after the water. Why? Because if you put the let's say you fill it up out of the urn, now in your hand you have a, the urn was kli rishon. Now the cup in your hand is a kli sheni. Correct? And according to everyone but the Chazanish. We'll get to, if you want to remind you about the Chazanish, you have a cup in your hand, you put it into a kli shlishi, now it's in a kli shlishi. Correct? Then you put the tea in. That's what I would do in terms of Rav Moshe. The Chazanish still probably wouldn't like that because the Chazanish believes if the water is pouring out from the kli rishon to the kli sheni and there's a direct connection, that's even the cup is still a kli rishon, he'd require an extra cup. Okay, that's the Chazanish.
We don't say anything about Yuri?
Hang on, we're getting there. But if let's say I take a tea from kli rishon and put it into a cup, now it's in a kli sheni. I put the tea bag into the third cup and then pour the tea on top of the pour the water on top of the tea bag. That's not really kli shlishi, that's Yuri kli sheni. How do we look at Eroi? What's the halach about Eroi? So Tosos and Mesechet Shabbos has three sheetahs about Eroi. Tosos is talking about Eroi from a klirisha to a klisheni. One day is it's totally mutter. That's
what's
the Rashi. Eroi means pouring. In other words, if the water is sitting flat in the cup, it's a klisheni, klishlishi, whatever it is. If it's being poured onto food in the cup, like you put the tea bag in first, then you have a serious shiloh, because it's Eroi Kli Rishon or Eroi Kli Sheni, depending on what you're pouring. So what's the story of if you have to the Kli Rishon and it's going into a Kli Sheni, you're pouring it. So there are three shitas in Poskim and Tosfos, three shitas in Tosfos and Sechet Shabbos. One is that it's Eroi Kli Sheni is Kli Rishon. Mamish like a Kli Rishon. If you pour it out of a Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheni, it's mamish like being in the Kli Rishon. Number one. The other extreme is the famous Rashbam. It's Mavasha, like a klisheni, and Eroi klisheni is a klisheni. According to the Rashbam, who's not accepted lahalacha, you could pour the water in on top of the tea, or put the tea in afterwards, it wouldn't make a difference. The middle sheet, which is probably most accepted lahalacha, is that it's Mavasha kedei klipa, it's Mavasha just a little bit, just around the outside, which is really not that relevant for Shabbos, but very relevant for Kashrus. Okay, fine. And therefore, if you want to put it in a kli shlishi, what you got to do is first go from the urn to a kli rishon, to a kli sheni, pardon me, the urn to rishon is a kli sheni, from a kli sheni to a kli shlishi, and then put the tea in. But not to pour the water on top of the tea. Rabbi Sobolevsky has a story that he likes to tell. He was once at someone's house for Shabbos, and they poured the water on top of the tea into a kli shlishi. So they said to him, Rebbe, maybe even to a cliche, I don't remember exactly the details. He said, Rebbe, what should we do? What's the halacha? He goes, you could always rely upon the Rashbam. You did a Peshogeg, it's Maisa Shabbos, and you have the Rashbam, the Magen Avraham says. You could always rely upon one Shita, it's totally okay. You can rely upon that, it's fine. You could use it. The man took the tea, threw it out in the sink, and said, I don't want to rely upon any kulas. We are the Chachila Jews, I don't want to rely upon anything. Then my Sobolevsky has two more postscripts to that story. A few weeks later, he gets a phone call, you know, that someone wants a shidduch for that guy's daughter. He goes, what can you tell about the family? He goes, I'll tell you, they're lechadchila Jews. They don't rely upon b'dieved, and I'll tell you how I know. He told that story. But really, Rabbi Sobolevsky said, l'chor, I would have thought you could rely upon the Rashbam. He goes, I continued learning, and I came across a Chazanish. The Chazanish says the Rashbam is so irrelevant from halacha l'maisa, it's like Beit Shammai. You can't even rely upon that for Maisa Shabbos. So Sobolevsky says, I was shocked. I went over to Rabbi Willig, and Willig goes, I don't know what he's talking about. The Rashbam is a major Rishon. He's not Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is the paradigm of someone who we don't pass him like. The Rashbam is not accepted la halacha. Rabbi Willig thought that you could rely upon this in terms of Maisa Shabbos. So whether or not this guy who asked for Sobolevsky to throw it out, he didn't realize that he was machmir like the Chazanish.
What did the Rashbam say again?
The Rashbam says, Kli Eroi, Kli Sheni is Kli Sheni. And therefore, presumably, Eroi Kli Shlishi would be like Kli Shlishi. The Rashbam says Eroi Kli Rishon is Kli Sheni, in which case Eroi Kli Shlishi would be like Kli Shlishi, which would be okay, but since we're machmer against the Rashbam, it's important to put the water in the Kli Shlishi first and then put the tea in afterwards.
How do you define Eroi Kli Sheni?
When you're pouring into the Kli Sheni, If let's say there's something in that cup, it's being poured right in onto it. It's out of the Kli Rishon, but it's hitting the food inside Kli Sheni.
If you put something in a cup and then add it in afterwards?
I mean, if I put water into a cup and I put the tea in, that's Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
If I put the tea in, let's say, the cup and then pour it in, that's called Eroi because it's pouring right onto it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Quickly, instant coffee. Is there a plug? I got 9% left on my computer. I think I should make it, but if I need to, you'll help me out. Regarding Eroi, there are three shittas in Tosfos about Eroi. Number one is Eroi Kli Rishon is Kli Rishon. Number two is Eroi Kli Rishon is Kli Sheni. And number three is Eroi Kli Rishon is neither Kli Rishon nor Kli Sheni entirely. It's a middle shita. What's the middle shita? It's Mevashel Kedei Klipa. Again, for Shabbos, that's totally irrelevant. But for, what's it called? But for Bishol and Bas B'Cholov and other areas, it's very relevant. While I'm on the coffee topic, the tea topic, I'll quickly mention coffee, and then I'll go back and talk about the bowl of soup in front of you. Again, not in yeshiva. That in yeshiva, you could dip the challah in because you have permission. The brewers have to. But in your own house, usually it's not so pushy that you have a Kli Shlishi. We'll get there. Okay. Coffee, yeah? Instant coffee is almost always cooked, if not always, is always cooked before you buy it, and therefore, l'chora, what should the halacha be? In bishel acher bishel, and that's out of Moshe Paskins in Orachayim, Chelek Dalid. I wrote here Ayin Gimel, but I must mean Ayin Dalid, in section of bishel, Sifkatan, Tes, Zayin. And therefore, certainly, if you want to make coffee straight up in a Kli Rishon, totally mutter. You want to know why? Ein bishel acher bishel. Different from tea. Because tea is not cooked. Coffee comes cooked. So in one case, you have an ein bishel acher bishel. When you don't have an ein bishel acher bishel, however, others, the Mishneh Berurah, Shin Yod Ches, Sifkatan, Ayin Aleph, talk about potential, they don't talk about coffee, they talk about powders that very, very quickly disintegrate immediately. And they say maybe those are considered a davar lach, even though it's not a davar yavish. And Mishnah Berurah said you should be zahir to be machmir. In other words, you would have thought water is a davar lach, and a piece of chicken is a davar yavish. It is. But what about, let's say, like powder? Powder, it's not, it is dry, but it maybe helps, that therefore you want to say davar yavish, that's why Aaron Moshe assumes. But there are those who believe it's a davar lach because a second touch of water becomes part of the water automatically. You put a piece of chicken in the water, it floats, it retains its status. And therefore, there are those who say, really, you should be machmer with things like coffee and put them in a Kli Sheni. And that, yeah, the Mishneh Berurah says you shouldn't put that in a Kli Rishon. You should either put it in a Kli Sheni or wait till it's not so hot. At the end of the day, most of us who make coffee would probably make it in a Kli Sheni. What would be the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be Eroi Kli Rishon. You should put the coffee in the cup and then have the water going on top of that. Or if Moshe would allow for it, the Mishneh Berurah would suggest it be machmer. Or let's say, I don't know, if you want to put coffee, mamash, on a pot, on the fire, on Shabbos, I don't know, I don't think anyone makes coffee that way. But if you take it out of the urn, you throw coffee into the urn, you throw coffee into the urn, so everyone gets coffee. I don't know, do people do that? Do people ever throw coffee into the urn?
No, but one time someone did an Instagram call, let's get tea bag, put it in the bigger urn. I think that was like a prank, and I messed up all the hot water.
So, again, if you would have done that with tea, probably a problem on Shabbos. That would have been terrible for him to do on Shabbos. Mamish Bishol Daraisa. However, if he does with coffee, so at least he has a motion to rely upon. The Mishneh Berurah probably wouldn't like it. Okay, so that just to review where we're at, and let's take it home. We spoke about Ein Bishol Acher Ophia. We should be machmer for that. We spoke about Kli Sheni. We should be machmer for that. We spoke about a Kli Shlishi. It's a Machlokas Achronim. But even those who are machmer, like the Mishneh Berurah, are often nekel to combine all three. Now, if let's say you come to my house for Shabbos, you put a bowl in front of you, is that a Kli Sheni or a Kli Shlishi? Now it's tricky, why? Because on the one hand, the pot that the food came from was a Kli Rishon. I used a ladle to scoop it out and pour it into a bowl. Is the ladle considered a kli sheni, which would make the bowl a kli shlishi? Or is the ladle still a... like nothing, not chashiv, irrelevant, and therefore the bowl would remain a kli sheni? What would the halacha be in such a case? What's the status of the ladle? So if I'm not mistaken, it's a machlokas. Some say the ladle is also part of the kli rishon, it's batel, in which case your soup bowl would be a kli sheni. I think there's a taz like that. If I'm not mistaken, I didn't look it up this time. I have my notes in the past. Shin Yud Ches Yud Tes, I think that's where it is. And it's also in Yerideya, Sadi Beis if Kam Lamed. He holds the ladle would be a kli, would be batel, irrelevant, insignificant, and therefore your bowl would be a kli sheni. But others, the Maharil quoted by the Taz in Yerideya, the Magen Avram, in Tuf Nun Beis if Kam Tes, hold that the ladle is a kli sheni, making the bowl a kli shlishi lahalacha. The Mishnah Berurah says, if you want to, again, put bread into your soup, you should at least make sure that it cools down, or at least count the ladle as a kli sheni, which makes your bowl a kli shlishi lefachot. Which sounds like he allows even the ladle to count, but he's not so excited about it. At least do this. It's not as good as letting the soup cool down below Yad Saleh's bow, but at least you could do that. There are those poskim, the Piskei Tshuva quotes, that say the ladle may not be batel, nor may it be an independent kli, but it depends upon how often it's used. In other words, if you leave it in the soup bowl for a while, it gets very, very hot, then it becomes batel to the soup bowl, it's hot, etc., etc. However, if you argue that, if you take the ladle out, I'm always mad at Friday night to leave the ladle out of the soup, this way if my children want to eat the challah with it, it's you have the argument that it's a independent kli, which would make your own bowl of soup a kli shlishi. And therefore, can you dip the bread into a kli shlishi? The answer is yes. Is your bowl a kli shlishi? If the ladle's out, certainly yes. If not, a little bit more of a difficult shayla. Salt, can you put salt in your soup?
Yes.
Absolutely. And bishel acher bishel. Pepper, can you put pepper in your soup?
Yeah.
Only if it's a kli shlishi.
But pepper can be cooked?
Pepper's not cooked. Pepper's not like salt.
Tomorrow says that...
Tavlin? I assume tavlin and pepper would be probably the same.
Salt,
like maybe according to Rav Salvechik and Rav Chaim. I don't know.
Say that salt?
Salt is totally mortar because it's in bishel acher bishel.
They cook salt.
Peppers, yeah. It comes pasture. What's the word?
Salt doesn't go pasture.
They cook it. They take it out. They cook. Every salt you get has been cooked.
Okay.
So, salt has been cooked. So in bishel acher bishel. Pepper has not been cooked. So it's a serious shayla. So to stick it, mamash on a fire, totally awesome. To stick it in a klisheni, maybe Rabbi Salvechik and Rav Chaim we make, I don't know. I would only stick pepper in a klishlishi. Use your bowl of klishlishi. Same shayla earlier on. And that takes us through most of what we spoke about. We spoke about tea, we spoke about bread, we spoke about salt, we spoke about pepper. Lastly, what about croutons, the soup nuts, those little tiles that the yeshiva serves? What's the halach with those guys? You follow? What? So at first glance, you may be saying in bishel acher bishel. Were those actually bishel? They were deep fried. So the joke that the post can make, at least in the American post, is that it's a little bit better for you. Not health-wise, but halachically speaking. Heard a few posts can make that joke. I think deep-fried, fried, sleet, fried is not pasha if it's considered sleet or ofia, and even sleet, which means grilling, and even tigo, which is frying, is subject to machlokas. In other words, what's the halacha? If let's say something is fried, could you do bishel afterwards? That's a big shayla. But everyone agrees that tigol amok, which means deep frying, is close enough to bishol that we allow for in bishol acher bishol. And the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas in one, in Perek Aleph, note 182, what's that? Kuf, pei, beis. And for example, the Mu'ur HaShabbos, of course, Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach as well, and people say Rebel Yashiv as well. Many, many posts can believe that deep frying, which is how these little soup nuts and soup tiles, the shkedei marak, are made, and therefore it's a mishal achabishal, and you can stick those right in right off the bat, you can stick it to a kli rishon, you can do iru with it. Remember, when I was younger, that's why Kol, one of the madrichim, used to be very careful to put them into his kli shlishi and not put them in to pour the soup on top. And someone corrected him and said, no, you can rely upon this because they're deep fried, and there's no problem being mishal achabishal. Okay, that was our opening shir on bishal. We'll stop here.